Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What are we to make about socialists in American politics today? Are socialists storming the gates? That's one of the big questions we're going to ask. And I'm going to give you a smarter way to think about America's political landscape today. That's what we do here at Smarter News. Hi, everybody. I'm Jenna. I am a journalist and the founder of Smarter News. We're all about quick, concise, nonpartisan information. And I really want to tackle this topic today for a few different reasons. One, we keep on hearing a lot about socialism, but there was a very important midterm election result that we have received that now has pushed this issue back to the headlines. And it's a good time just to give it an overview, touch on it a little bit. And I want to use this as part of our reporting. I really want to hear what you think about what's happening in American politics today. Let me show you a few of the headlines I was seeing this morning. I'm sure you're seeing something very similar. Here's a headline from CNN. The modern day Red Scare is officially here. Here's another headline from the Washington Post. A Democratic socialist in the White House? Activists are thinking big. It goes on to talk about who could potentially be one of those candidates. Here's one from Fox News. Squad socialist scores re-election nod as radical wave continues to sweep the party. So what are we really talking about here when we're saying there's socialists in American politics today? And why does that matter? Let's start really big. We miss that part in journalism a lot. Why does any of this matter? Political party conversations, why does it matter? It matters because American leadership matters, not only to us and our daily lives and what policies are being put in place that impact our families, but also because American leadership is important for the entire world. And who our elected leaders are reflect our country's or our community values. Sometimes those are at odds. And sometimes the tension between some of the different perspectives is part of what makes us very American, that we navigate a lot of tension in our regular politics in an effort to become a more free society, to really think about what does it mean to be American? What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to have liberty in every generation? And really, political leaders every election cycle have to redefine and rearticulate what that means to them and also reflect back to voters what's important to voters. So American leadership really matters. Let me give you something else to think about here when we're talking about socialism, and then we're going to get to what's actually happening in the current political cycle. But I think this is really important. A lot of the same questions that are being asked of the Democratic Party and socialism are very similar to some of the same questions that were asked of the Republican Party in 2015. Back then, there was a candidate that seemed very extreme. He was a radical outsider. He was not part of the political establishment. People really wondered whether or not he could win on a big ticket like the presidential race. They didn't think he was made for American politics. And his name was Donald Trump. And the Republican Party had to navigate that really quickly about whether or not the Republican Party was going to get behind him and his growing popularity or not. Obviously, that happened. And President Trump was elected, not once, but now twice. But in the course of that period of time that we've had Donald Trump part of American politics, the Republican Party has had a huge reckoning of what does a Republican look like? What does the conservative movement in America look like or stand for? And there's been a lot of schisms. You know, there is the MAGA part of the party and there's the Never Trumper part of the party. And those different facets have often collided with each other. There's been a lot of drama in the Republican Party. And so it's really interesting to take a very big picture view of American politics right now and what's happening with quote unquote socialism and the Democratic Party and ask that same question. Is this the Democratic Party's turn to wrestle with different factions of the party that it hasn't had to in the last several years, due in part to President Biden deciding he was going to run for re-election? There was no primary for the Democratic Party. There was no public reckoning of that. And now we're seeing it. The other thing it might be interesting to consider, too, is President Trump, as he rose to popularity talked about things like the economy and opportunity and what does it mean to truly be American. It wasn't necessarily Republican Party pillars. He was talking about these big issues and the economy, opportunity, what does it mean to be American is something a lot of the candidates that we're going to be talking about are now also talking about today. So think of that big picture as the law of physics we could apply. Listen, I'm not great at science, but you probably are familiar with that phrase, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So would we even be having this conversation about socialism and the Democratic Party in America if we didn't already have the conversation about President Trump and what he meant to the Republican Party? Would there be a President Trump without a President Obama? Would there be a President Obama without a President Bush? You see all of these pendulums swing back and forth. And when we start looking at the American political picture, as a big story, rather than a snapshot, we can have a richer conversation. And that's what I want to do today. We got to elevate this a little bit. You can go anywhere to hear whether or not the socialists are storming the gates and whether or not we should be afraid or that this is the next great thing in American politics. So let's just have a different conversation today. Why are we talking about socialism? Why is that even coming up? Well, it has to do in part with what you're seeing on your screen here, the Democratic Socialists of America, which, by the way, has been around for several decades in a variety of different forms. And we have seen some elected lawmakers associated with this party. That includes Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, both congresswomen that have been elected multiple times, that have different relationships with this party, but have been affiliated. And part of the reason there's been talk about socialism is a few different things. For example, during President Obama's term, there was a big public debate about healthcare and whether or not healthcare is a right or a privilege, whether or not it should be private or public, whether or not the government should be involved. So we've wrestled with this idea of what exactly is socialism, who's associated officially with the Socialist Party, or maybe is just socialist adjacent that has progressive points of view that could sort of be in line with what we would think are socialists, but we have to ask ourselves that question. So let's take a look at this, because I thought you might find this really interesting, is to look at what exactly is a democratic socialist. How do you actually define that? What does that look like? And here we are on the website, Democratic Socialists of America. Let me just read to you the first paragraph or two. It reads, capitalism is a system designed by the owning class to exploit the rest of us for their own profit. We must replace it with democratic socialism, a system where ordinary people have a real voice in our workplaces, neighborhoods, and society. We believe there are many avenues that feed into the democratic road to socialism. Our vision pushes further than historic social democracies and leaves behind authoritarian visions of socialism in the dustbin of history. All right, a lot of questions for that. Let me go ahead and go to the Encyclopedia Britannica. I was looking for sort of a neutral definition that we could use for contrast to that. So in the Encyclopedia Britannica defines socialism as social and economic doctrine that calls for public rather than private ownership or control of property and natural resources. According to the socialist view, individuals do not live or work in isolation, but live in cooperation with one another. It goes on to say, this conviction puts socialism in opposition to capitalism, which is based on private ownership of the means of production and allows individual choices in a free market. So a few different definitions there. As I looked into socialism, I thought it was interesting that some actually bring socialism back to, you know, the philosophers. You could look for the origins of, like, where does socialism come from? So we could do a deeper dive on that if you're curious about it. I'm happy to do more of an academic look at socialism. Some say socialism and communism are exactly the same thing. Others will say communism means absolutely no private ownership, or socialism there is some. You know, we can leave some of those splitting hairs for another conversation, but hopefully you have a kind of a point of view of what is socialism. It's the opposite of capitalism, more public ownership, and a different way of basically looking at the economy and society. So why are we talking about it now? Also has to do with the fact that we're in...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
A We're in an election year. It's the midterm election, so we're not going to see a new president elected, but every member of the House of Representatives is up for re-election. We have a third of the Senate. You have some governor races. You got some local races in your city or states that you could see as well. And one of the big profile races that we saw over the last year, just kind of on an off election year, is the election of a new mayor in New York City who is officially associated with the Democratic Socialists of America, Zohran Mamdani. And so his official association as a young, charismatic politician that won against odds in America's largest city was looked at as a real symbolic win for those that are aligning more with the socialist policies, with more progressive points of view, because it is, New York is such a big city. It really represents America in a way that no other city really does, the largest city in the country. And so was this a sign for the Democratic Party overall that to be victorious in a midterm election year, you're going to need more candidates like him? So as we go into this midterm election cycle, we're seeing different primary elections. These are where the parties decide, the voters for every party decides, depends on how it works in your state, decide who's going to be on the ticket in November, who's actually going to be the official candidate that represents the Democratic Party, who's the official candidate that's going to represent the Republican Party. And these primary elections are happening all different times around the country. So we had one in New York a few months ago, and we saw several candidates that were associated with the Democratic Socialists of America win their primaries. We also saw a candidate in Colorado do something similar. So it wasn't just New York, but in two of these states, they're thought of very much to be aligned with the Democratic Party. You know, it'd be a huge surprise if a Republican was going to win some of those races. So whoever won the primary was likely going to be Democrat or be associated with the Democratic Party and is going to win in November. And so it wasn't that it didn't matter. It just that it was likely going to be a Democratic Party seat. That's very different, though, in the state of Michigan. And that's what we saw this week. The state of Michigan is a swing state, meaning sometimes in presidential election cycles, it'll vote for the Democratic Party, the Democratic candidate, and other times it'll vote for the Republican candidate. And the way Michigan votes can really impact the presidential election. And so we're always watching that state. There's a couple key swing states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, where we're not quite sure what the state's going to do. And depending on where the state goes, that's who's going to win, whether or not they favor a Democrat or a Republican. And so the person that you're seeing on your screen here is a candidate that is not officially associated with the Democrat Socialists of America as a party alignment, but he is very much described as adjacent. And so Abdul Al-Sayed is a former health official who's gotten involved in politics over the years. And he was up against a pretty tough, more quote-unquote traditional Democratic candidate. And he just eked out the victory in Michigan. And because of his stance, because of his politics, because of his more progressive point of view, this is seen as a really big deal because it's in the state of Michigan. Again, is it another sign for the Democratic Party overall to embrace more progressive platforms like Medicare for All, for example, or reducing military aid to Israel? These are some of the things that he's talked about in the past, but he doesn't just talk about that. For those of you who maybe have never heard him talk before, let me play a little bit of sound from his acceptance for his victory, which we're going to get to in a moment about what it means and what we should consider there and what he has to say about America. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
I just want to say how grateful I am to my colleague, Senator McMorrow, Chairman Hertel, to all of our incredible supporters here. What a race. You know, in the words of Muhammad Ali, we shook up the world. And I want to say, just first and foremost, how grateful I am for the opportunity to participate in democracy. Now, my family immigrated to this country from a place where there is not democracy. You cannot just put your hand up and run. And the ability to do this, to have our voices heard, to select our leaders, it is a gift that sometimes we take for granted. So to have participated means so much.
So let's stop it there. He's going to go on through his thank yous. But does that sound like someone that wants to disrupt the entire American economic and social system overall? Someone that's so progressive that he's going to be really disruptive to the way of American life? Or does it sound different? Now, we could get deeper into his platforms and his what he believes, and there's been a lot of controversy over that. We're not going to get into that today. However, I wanted you to see how he's talking about America, because that's what we're hearing. If we're thinking about, well, how do these candidates actually look? How do they sound? What are they saying to the public on a microphone about what they believe? This is a little bit of a snapshot of that, so you can get a feeling for it. Because it may not be exactly what you think about when you think about a more progressive or a more socialist candidate. There are a couple of things to think about with this particular race in Michigan that are important. He did win. He did compete against a well-known Democrat candidate that was already serving in the House of Representatives. This is for the Senate race in Michigan. So he will be the Democratic nominee for the Senate in November. He's going to be up against a Republican. And that's going to be a very tight race, as Michigan races really often are, unless something unexpected happens. And whoever wins the Senate seat in Michigan, this is why it's also important, could determine which party has the majority in the Senate. So this is very high stakes, not only for him and his political career. This is a very high profile position that he was looking to win in his primary. It wasn't, not to throw shade at the House of Representatives, it wasn't the House that he was looking for. He's seeking the Senate. Every state has two senators that represent the state. This is a very high profile position. He'd be serving for 6 years in the U.S. Senate. And so he won a very close race, but it was very close. It was not a landslide. So understanding that is important. It was not a landslide. However, he also overcame a lot of money that was pushed towards the other candidate because of his more progressive politics, because some in the Democratic Party aren't sure what to make of more progressive candidates. And they're worried about what it will look like in a broader election. In an election in November where you have independents and undecideds have to get motivated to come and vote for you. Will they vote for someone like him or someone that is a more known or traditional candidate that's aligned with the political party itself? It's also important to note here that he has been in Michigan politics before and did not see success. He ran for governor against Governor Whitmore.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And lost by a huge margin. So he has been around, but he's having a moment now. So what does that mean about American politics over the last several years, and what messages are really landing? Is it really about the economy again? Something he's talked a lot about. Is it about healthcare for everybody? What is actually resonating with voters today? And who has the upper hand when speaking to that? That's going to be a big question moving forward. So there's some caveats to this. There's some big headlines talking about socialists making moves in American politics, but be careful, because it wasn't this landslide victory. It wasn't a total affirmation from the Democratic Party. It was a victory. And mobilizing people to get out to vote for the primary. But the general election is going to be very different. And so we want to be very careful about transposing what could be one headline and taking a more nuanced look at what is happening underneath. But this is important. Big race, high profile, important state. And this pushes the conversation about socialism in America back to the forefront, not because he's officially associated with the Democratic Socialists of America, but because he's adjacent to them, thought to be more under that umbrella than the other part of the Democratic Party that would be more quote-unquote traditional. So that's an interesting question for you about what you think are the topics that are going to land with the American public come the midterm election, and which party really has the upper hand. Is it about a political party that has an upper hand in this, or is it really about a personal candidate and whether or not they're connecting directly with the voters in a way that maybe no party can do at this time? We're always wondering, is there going to be a third political party, a fourth political party that can actually play on the main stage, you know, on the big leagues with the Democratic and Republican Party? Are we going to see that with the rise of the Democratic Socialists of America being more organized, getting behind certain candidates, or supporting others that maybe are not officially aligned? So a lot to think about here. We're going to also be looking at this next week, which is part of the reason I wanted to preview this for you. In another election in Wisconsin, this time for governor, who is going to be the Democratic nominee for governor in Wisconsin? There's a new person that's come to the forefront. Her name is Francesca Hong, and she is, again, someone new, someone different, and that has more progressive leanings. And that's why she's also getting a lot of attention in another very important swing state of Wisconsin. There's been a few different sound bites from her over the last several weeks that have gotten attention, including one in an interview recently where she was asked whether or not she believes that Thanksgiving should be abolished. It's because of a social media post from a few years ago. I'm going to play that as I say goodbye to you because I want you to listen to her response and think about whether or not she answered the question or not, or whether or not you think that's going to be a factor to voters. Sometimes it's something unusual. You know, it's a reference to Thanksgiving. It's something that was said in a debate offhanded. It's not necessarily these large platform issues. And because this soundbite has gotten attention, you may have seen a headline. I want you to hear her complete answer so you can make up your own mind. That's what we're all about here at Smarter News. I want you to make up your own mind. But think about a couple things that we talked about. One of the reasons why we're seeing a conversation about socialism right now in America is because we're actually seeing candidates that are supported and aligned with the Democrat Socialist Party of America, because it's actually because that party is a factor affiliated with real candidates. We're also seeing candidates that are adjacent to that, that we have to be careful with the term progressive, because some people can have progressive points of view but aren't associated with socialism, but that's how they're being described right now. And so we're seeing candidates that are kind of leaning more comfortably that direction. Is that the way that the Democratic Party overall is going to lean? Or are these kind of off races that, you know, are going to get some headlines now, but come November are not going to be that big of a deal? Or is this the beginning of a movement that pushes a socialist candidate to the top nomination for the White House, as the Washington Post was talking about? Are we at the beginning of this story? Or are we just sort of in the kind of fodder, tabloid fodder, for whether or not we're seeing another quote unquote modern day Red Scare? I'm very curious what you think about this. Let us know here at Smarter News. But hopefully this gives you a little bit of an overview. Why are we talking about this now? Why does it matter? Who are we really watching? And what does this mean for the political landscape overall in America, that in 2026, the year that we're marking 250 years of the Declaration of Independence, that we're asking the question, how is socialism finding its way into the platform of different political candidates and perhaps a major political party? So I'll leave you with this soundbite. Let me know what you think. I really look forward to your thoughts. And if you'd like more conversation about socialism and its origins, how does it differ from communism, let me know. I'm glad to do a little bit more research on that, bring you some really good guests, and we can dig in a little bit more. We'll know how much to turn up the volume depending on how things are looking as we get closer to the November elections. So let me go ahead and play this soundbite for you, and I'll see you on the other side. Thank you so much for your support of quick, concise, nonpartisan, Smarter News. Take a listen to this and let me know what you think.
They brought up as well was a post from you in 2021 where you said Americans should cancel Thanksgiving, should have done this in 1621. The post has been deleted. Republicans have been highlighting it. Do you still believe that Thanksgiving should be canceled?
I'm a chef, and one of the first meals that I made that was for the community when I was 16 was a Thanksgiving meal. You know, I always think my hospitality background and owning a restaurant for 7-8 years, that bringing folks around the table to share conversation and build community is always a good thing. But Thanksgiving is also a time that's incredibly painful for many people in our communities. And so I think there I wanted to make sure that people understood that there are multiple views, but well, views can evolve. And the position that I'm running for right now, and I think my background as a chef, will actually help me become a better governor that's able to bring more people to the table.
I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now, but home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with a right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.